Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I am Jamie Hill. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
How you doing?
I'm A-okay.
Good. Happy to hear it.
Yeah.
It sure is a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest.
It is.
Man, we get to be here all summer. It's exciting.
Yes, there are upsides.
There are little silver linings.
To not being able to go on tour.
So people, here's the deal. We are right at the end of our fundraiser season. We've been doing this for 3 weeks today, and we have three more days to go. And
we have until Thursday of this week.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. This comes out on Wednesday. So really, by the time you hear this, we have today and tomorrow.
That's right.
It's been bedlam around here. The end of a fundraiser is, it's always much harder than the beginning. Like, you really have to do a full court press the entire time. It just takes a lot of effort. This is all just to say, this is going to be a shorty.
Yeah, we've got a lot on our plate, and we're in the final sprint of the fundraiser. We're in the final sprint of making this new album. And so today is going to be short. So even though we have maybe some new listeners today, because so many people have been joining our Misfit Stars patron community.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're so glad you're here.
Welcome.
Also, this is a short podcast. It's unusual. Once the fundraiser is over, we're going to be able to dive back in and do more typical podcasts.
Yeah. But hey, if you miss us, if you feel after listening to this episode like you're not getting enough Shannon and Jamie time, tune into our Facebook Live tonight. It's on Shannon's profile, which is facebook.com/ShannonKCurtis.
Yeah.
We're doing a live broadcast from 7:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. West Coast time, 9:30 Central.
And also, if you're a new listener and you want more of this, there are lots of previous episodes banked that
dozens.
You can go back and listen to.
Dozens and dozens.
Yeah.
So, new listeners, welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
We know that a lot of people are joining us because they've been supporting our fundraiser, and because of the mechanism for that, you're getting the emails about the podcast each week. If you're listening because of that, we hope you love hanging out with us. We love hanging out with you for sure. And if you're listening and you didn't come here via the fundraiser, hey, please go do our fundraiser. It is at shannoncurtis.net. It's right on the front page. We only have two more days to go. We're trying to get to 150 new supporters.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently, as of this taping, at 127 with only 23 to go. It feels really doable.
Oh my gosh.
And here's the deal, people. It's a $5 a month minimum buy-in.
That's right.
It's so achievable. That's 17 cents a day. That's one dime, one nickel, and two pennies, and any lint. We'll take the lint. We don't even care. It doesn't even matter. Point is that you can participate. We're counting supporters in this thing. We're not counting dollars. We're not trying to raise a big one-time pot of money. We're trying to get as many people in our amazing community behind us to help us weather this pandemic as we can.
Yes.
And if we get to 150 people, we're going to be in a position where I'm going to be able to start dedicating some of my time to mixing and mastering records to help other artists who, like us, have had their incomes devastated by this pandemic. The idea being that I can help them make some world-class recordings at no cost to them that they can then turn around and use to engage their communities and empower themselves, make some money.
Yes.
So that's the goal. That's what we're aiming toward. We're only 23 people away. If a quarter of the people who listen to this each day were to sign up, we'd be done.
We'd be done.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, I haven't signed up, but I do like Shannon and Jamie, just go to shannoncurtis.net and throw your hat in the ring. We'd really appreciate it.
Awesome.
We'll invite you to our private Misfit Stars Facebook discussion group, which is magical and so nice and kind and polite and sweet and good and all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other stuff too. You can read about it on shannoncurtis.net.
Yes, and thank you. And thank you to those of you who have joined as new supporters.
Yeah.
The last few weeks of this fundraiser, we've seen a whole bunch of new supporters come into this community, you know, the Misfit Stars community. And it is such a joy. Like, every time you, Jamie, make a post in our Misfit Stars Facebook group about the new folks that are there, I'm
always do a little introduction. Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, that person. Oh, yay.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to love this person.
I know.
And it's just so fun to see that little corner of our world growing with more more people from different backgrounds and different stories and, you know, all that represented there. It's really cool. So thank you to the new supporters. We're so grateful for you and just humbled that you have chosen to throw some of your resources behind us to keep us going during this time.
And your energy, you
really
know, the karma of it all is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely. So, you know, this podcast is, when we first started this podcast, like, you know, there's no theme to this podcast. There's no, like, you know, like you could search for, like, you know, podcasts all about, like, murder mysteries or politics or, I don't know, you name it. dog care.
This is like Seinfeld. You know, it's a podcast about nothing.
It's a podcast about nothing, but it's also kind of everything. Like, you know, what we decided that we were going to do when we sat down each week to talk to each other was to identify the things in our lives or in the world that felt most important to hash out, you know? And like, you know, if we were like needing to come each week with like answers to all the questions that came up that week or like, you know, solutions to whatever stuff is important to talk about, well, that wouldn't be possible because we're not that smart or put together. But what we hope this is like an opportunity to hear two people showing up as authentically as they can to hash out stuff that sometimes is difficult, that sometimes is, you know, challenging to wade through. Trying to wade through this stuff together with open hearts, with compassionate spirits.
With humility.
With humility, hopefully.
Open ears.
That's what we aim to do in this podcast. And so, man, has this time of coronavirus provided all sorts of opportunities for hashing stuff out.
It's a target-rich environment.
Holy moly. Yeah. So, you know, if you're listening in for the first time or you're new here, that's what we're aiming to do here. Don't come here for answers.
No, but come here for good questions.
But do come here for good questions. And the reason I bring it up is that this is also one of the aspects that I'm seeing growing within our Misfit Stars private Facebook group, is that there are a lot of people out there, it turns out, who are looking for people, other people to connect with around this notion of, okay, how do we move forward? How do we get our brains wrapped around all this? How do we keep our hearts open during a time that it's so tempting to just close them up.
Shut down.
Yeah. So that's what's happening here on this podcast. That's what's happening in the group. And welcome. We are so, so glad that you're here.
And if that sounds amazing to you, if you're like, yeah, I'm that person, I want to meet the rest of these people who are like me, you can get yourself in there. Just go to shannoncurtis.net and sign up.
That's right.
It's super simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would love to have you.
So on the notion of working through what's going on in the world, Jamie Hill, how are you feeling this week?
You know, this week, that's a big bite.
Oh, okay.
How about today?
How about right now?
Yeah.
How are you feeling right now?
I mean, seriously, it changes all of the time.
Seriously.
I will say, generally speaking, I've been feeling pretty good this week. And I think really it's just because we've just been so laser focused on what we have to do, what we have to accomplish. That like, I haven't had a lot of time to really like get in my head too much and worry about things too much. Like we just always have something we have to do right in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, we are dealing with the fundraiser or we are working on the record. Those are the two things.
It's a go time of year for us for sure.
Yeah. Not really a lot of time to relax, which, you know, there are downsides too, but the upside is that like we can't get our head too far up our butts, you know, and that's really helpful. Honestly, I can obsess about things. I'm built that way. I try not to. I've got some tools around that, but you know, idle hands and all that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we've not had idle hands and that feels good.
Totally.
I feel focused. I feel optimistic. I'm happy that the fundraiser is nearly over because it's just exhausting and it takes a lot every single day.
Yeah.
I'm also having a wonderful time doing it.
Yeah.
Like both things are true. Like the thing that is killing me is also the thing that's giving me the most joy.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally hear you.
And it's great. I've been having such a fun time doing the fundraiser with you.
Me too.
Shannon and I, for those of you who haven't been tuning in, are doing a lot of live performance as a duo. It's a really new thing for us. It's me playing piano and Shannon singing. With a hairbrush, because you got to hold something, you know? It's adorable. It's great. And it's really fun. It's funny. Like, I'm a piano player, have been since I was 5. I was an accomplished piano player when I was a kid, but I haven't been playing piano for a long time. And I play keyboards all of the time on everything I do, but playing keyboards is really different than playing piano.
Right. Because usually in a keyboard part, you're like in the studio and you're needing to like put down maybe like a single note synth line to augment a part of a song.
Sure.
It's like
it could
very
be textural,
simple.
Yeah. Or even if it's more complex, you know, it's just different. Like playing a synthesizer action keyboard, like the weight of it is different. And the way it feels
too.
To play is
of
different.
Course.
And you use different muscles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been getting those muscles back and it's been really exciting
cool.
and fun for
yeah.
me. And it's neat. It's fun on like songs where you can really go for it and I can really go for it with you.
Yeah.
It's exciting. we're gonna keep doing this, which is exciting to me too. One of the things that we unlocked with goal one that we hit a long time ago in the fundraiser is that you and I are gonna do monthly acoustic concerts. concerts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, acoustic, quote unquote.
Right.
It's not acoustic at all. It's an amplified electronic instrument. And there will probably be a couple of amplified electronic instruments. But point being, it won't be like a whole full band thing.
Yes, yes.
And I'll play and Shannon will sing probably just into the room. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And
I'll
really
be acoustic.
Forward.
I'll be unmiked.
That's it. Shannon singing directly into the phone.
That
me
counts.
Through a speaker.
Yeah.
Into the phone.
Totally.
Yeah, it's cool. It's been a really neat new addition to my life, and I'm having a great time with
That's great.
So on balance, I don't know. I mean, we've got worries also. The world's a kind of a shit show. We'll get to that in a sec. How are you feeling?
In this moment, fine. Really fine. I'm like super excited actually because we get to be around the Northwest all summer because we can't tour. We got to join our neighborhood urban farm CSA run by our friend Sass.
A block over.
She lives exactly one block over from us. She has the same address as us, but one street over. And we've never been able to be part of her CSA, but this year, since we're going to be around during harvest season, we can. So we did our first pickup from her urban farm today, and it just was like, it brought me so much joy. I got this box of greens that had all these salad greens in it, just gorgeous. And then lovingly placed on top were like fresh herbs and edible flowers, and it was just like bounty in a box, and I was like so excited about it.
And homemade pesto and homemade jam.
Really, yeah. So like I just feel that made me feel great. It's just it's one of those small joys that is everything in this time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm finding that I'm probably for the duration of this period of time in human history, I'm gonna have to place a lot of my emotional weight on those small moments of brightness and joy and, you know, peace. Like there's just, you know, when I think back of what the world was like a few months ago and like, you know, I think I probably found myself a lot more frequently if there was a moment, a lull, you know, in my day. You know, my immediate next thought was probably like, oh, well, what should I be doing to fill this lull? I'm self-employed. I need to be working, you know?
Yeah.
And now I understand that there's going to be a lot more lulls. Our social calendar is completely, you know, empty. And I'm finding that I actually really do find a lot of respite in those small moments of, you know, wandering into the yard and just looking at what the flowers are doing. And not needing to fill it with the next busy thing that I should be doing, you know?
Especially in this time when we're so busy, like just feeling like we have those little moments just to not be doing anything and just to be.
Yeah.
It really feels great.
Yeah. So at this moment, I'm feeling really good because we just got our CSA box and that brought me a lot of joy.
If you want to know how to make Shannon happy, people, just organic vegetables.
Vegetables. but over the last 24 hours, I've been on a bit of a roller coaster. I've been really tired at times. Part of that is that I have a B12 deficiency and we finally gave me my shot for that last night. And
I kept forgetting.
Feel better. And so like I've been going through like fatigue and trying to deal with that. I was also last night really feeling very frustrated with some attitudes of some people online.
Shannon was swatting flies on Facebook.
Well, just, you know, I get really tired of folks who are posting disinformation. Like it's you know, in more normal times, disinformation is annoying, but right now it feels particularly dangerous.
For sure.
It's always dangerous, but you know, like I feel like sometimes I have the bandwidth to address it and be like, hey, I see what you're saying here, but here's some reasons why the sources you're citing are unreliable, or, you know, like I can sometimes kindly, approach somebody who's doing something like that and work through it. And then there's sometimes I just don't have the bandwidth. Yeah. And so like, I had to just like delete and block, which, you know, you know, I don't always do that, but sometimes that's what self-care looks like, you know, and I just didn't have the bandwidth to go all the way there with some folks last night. And it's not even like this particular situation bothered me so much as that it feels like it was a representation of what a lot of folks out there are thinking in this time, and I just feel so discouraged. And this maybe and leads
a laser
into-
focus right now on it too. I was just going to say because like it was yesterday was the end of Memorial Day weekend. Our country did not acquit itself well no. for Memorial Day.
At least not.
Memorial Day was just, it was an even bigger shit show than we'd feared. You and I talked just last week on the podcast about how people are kind of like, ah, I'm sort of over this whole pandemic thing. Let's just get back to normal. Yeah. People were really getting back to normal in some really uncool ways in some places where there has not been even a plateau, let alone
a downshift,
a bending of the curve. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just wild, you know? In Missouri, like, holy hell, it's just going to be so bad. Yeah. And like the willful, like I can see like just places where there's like maybe culturally, like just the education has not permeated. Like things hit certain places first and other places second and third, whatever. And I could see there being places where people are well-intentioned, but just not up to speed.
Yeah.
There was a lot of what seemed like willful FU
right.
about this, you right. know, like ass, screw all those pansy liberals on the West Coast. We're you know?
Oh gosh. The thing that's really saddens me the most about this, not the most. There's lots of things that sadden me about all of this, but one of the things that feels most discouraging is that this ought to be a time when it doesn't matter what your political stripe is. We should all be united together in combating a common foe in this virus. Like there's a virus isn't political. There's nothing political about infection.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, certainly there's politics around who gets care and who doesn't. And those are questions to be asked for sure, you know?
And it has hit blue places first only because it's hit coastal urban centers first and coastal urban centers skew blue.
Right.
But that's a sequential thing.
Well,
that doesn't mean it's not going to hit red places. It's just, it's coming.
There are also more populous places. If you even were to do like a percentage mm-hmm. of the population that has been impacted, it's not all that different.
Right.
You know?
But in the sheer numbers,
yes,
that's
exactly,
where it is.
And where the news coverage has been and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I feel really discouraged about the notion that somehow we've managed to politicize this time, and it's just not serving us well. It's not going to serve us well. I saw something today in an article, and it was a side note in this article about how the New York Stock Exchange opened for the first time today, like the in-person stock exchange opened, and with new social distancing measures and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was a side note in this article that mentioned a quote from an official at the WHO saying, "The world is in the middle right now. We are in the middle of the first wave of this pandemic. We're not, this isn't over.
We're not even past the first wave.
Yeah.
Everyone's predicting, every expert is predicting there's going to be at least a second, if not a third wave.
Yeah.
And now, because not just the U.S., and predominantly the U.S., but there's other places too that are doing such a terrible job at following through with this and staying the course mm-hmm. and being responsible mm-hmm. about like social distancing and masks and the things you need to do. Mm-hmm. They're now anticipating that this first wave in the U.S. is going to have a second peak. So
really?
A second peak to the first wave
just
before even the summer hits or heading into summer. And then, you know, maybe there'll be respite over summer and maybe you'll just chug along, who knows? Mm. But then the fall, you know, peak two, bam, you know, the spring, peak three.
It frustrates me because it's not something that should have been politicized to begin with. The absolute vacuum of leadership from the federal government has led to this scenario. And not only vacuum of leadership, but willful denial that there's anything wrong. Like literally the first couple months of this, sticking their fingers in their ears and going, la, 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 la. There's no pandemic.
No problem here.
It's going to disappear magically.
Yeah.
Like the fact that there's been no leaders, like if there were responsible leaders on both sides of the aisle, it ought not be a political statement to wear a mask in public.
No.
It's not a political statement. It's a statement of I care for those around me so much so that I'm going to keep my mouth and nose covered so that if I happen to be a carrier, I'm not going to infect all of you. Like it's a statement of love and care.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a political statement to wear a mask, but here we are.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people left and right posting stuff on social media about how they, you know, they're committed to wearing masks and they're going out in public and like they're one of very few people, you know, when they go to the grocery store and that people are giving them dirty looks for wearing them. And it's like, are you kidding
me? It's so backwards.
Like
it's wild.
yeah, we got to do better. Yeah. We got to do better. We got to do better, or we're on our way already to collectively learning this lesson the hard way. And the really twisted thing is that if our goal is to get back to some semblance of a more normal life as quickly as possible, the way to do that is by following the guidelines that the experts are telling us to do, not bucking them and saying they're not necessary or that it's tyranny or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
it's crazy times.
I feel there are moments I feel angry, and I know a lot of folks feel angry. Mostly I just feel like deflated, like humans do better.
Yeah. And there's costs, like there's real costs. We've become so numb, I think, already to these numbers. But there's 20,000, like there were yesterday, 20,000 new infections. It was like
in the U.S.?
In the U.S. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, just yesterday. I get a lot of different daily newsletters from various things, right. You know, and one of them, just at the very top of the newsletter, it's just something I started getting like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It has just the day's summary statistics for what's happening with coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
And then it has a little thing, just a little Excel looking thing with like, you know, a 4x3 grid or whatever of like, here's what the last week looked like. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday was like 19,700 and something infections, new infections. And that was the low for, or the second lowest for the last week, but it's been as high as 25,000.
Wow.
Like 2 days ago, it was like 23,000 people.
Wow.
So between 19 and 25,000 people every single day are getting the coronavirus, right? And there is like a relatively speaking, extraordinarily high morbidity rate for this thing, right? So there's like this real human toll.
Yeah.
Like people are fucking dying.
Yeah.
Dying all of the time. 1,000 to 2,000. Sometimes on high days, up to 3,000 people a day. Usually it's like 1,500 on average people per day.
Yeah.
1,500 families who just like that in the blink of an eye lose a loved one senselessly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely wild. And for some reason, like a huge percentage of our fellow citizens have decided that this is not just acceptable, but fine. Like they're kind of writing off people. Like you hear the language around this and people are like, well, they're old. They were going to die anyway. Well, they were sick.
Gosh.
They're going to die anyway. You know, well, they were immigrants. Like what the fuck? Like at what point does like this just turn into weird eugenics?
Well, it sadly is. I mean, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing. Like a few, you know, it was last month. I think it was a month ago. Time is weird. Time is a strange elastic thing right now.
Yeah.
But a month or so ago, it started to become clear, like in the data that COVID-19 was a more serious and taking the lives of a proportionally high number of people of color.
Yep.
And so, you know, map that to healthcare disparities.
Sure.
Map that to you know, the number of people who are working, the kinds of jobs where they weren't able to work from home to keep themselves safe, you know, in the ramp up and of the pandemic or the epidemic, you know, like we really have a situation in which, you know, the virus is making an impact more gravely in communities of color.
Yeah.
I think that when that news started to come out, I recall that correlating with a relaxing of white people's attitudes toward taking it seriously.
Yeah, right.
I'm not saying that was a direct causation, but it does seem to correlate time-wise. You know, like I don't think that the majority of folks who are thwarting the recommendations for social distancing and whatnot, really, really care to know that the fact that people who are, you know, being forced to come to work in meatpacking plants in the Midwest are seeing extraordinarily high infection rates. I mean, forced to go to work because it's either work or starve. Because, you know, these meatpacking plants were declared essential places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we really are in a situation where we need to confront the notion that this pandemic, much like a lot of other issues in our country, make it a larger negative impact on communities of color than the general population all put together. We've got some work to do. We all need to be doing better on, you know, electing people who take that kind of thing seriously and are working to remedy access to healthcare.
Yeah.
Better paying jobs.
Mm-hmm. Workplace protections.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a million different issues that have come up during this time. And that's one that I think that white people who are serious about racial equity mm-hmm. ought to be taking a very close look at that and what we can do about it.
I think you're right.
I know that there are a lot of elected leaders who are making proposals to address these things directly, mm-hmm. Starting with collecting the data about it, because if we don't have data, we don't know how to move forward.
Yeah, and that's a really insidious thing that's been happening in this time too. There's been a purposeful push not to collect data or to commingle it in such a way as to make it useless.
Right.
It's really wild. Like the whole meatpacking situation, like the state of Nebraska basically just stopped collecting any data about workplace. And this is what happened last week. About collecting data about workplace infections in meatpacking industry because they were getting really, really bad. It was looking really bad for the state, so they forbade the collection of it.
So if you just pretend it's not happening, you can just absolve yourself of responsibility?
If you don't have numbers, it literally isn't counted. How wild is that? And that's kind of common. It's been happening up even at the level of the CDC. Wow. Like they have been in what looks so... It's either... like so amateurish as to be something that like a first year college student wouldn't get wrong, statistically speaking, in terms of how to collect data. It's so amateurishly bad that it seems purposeful because you don't have amateurs working at the frickin' CDC. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're commingling two different types of data.
The antibody positive tests plus the virus testing.
Yeah, exactly. And those should be kept separate because you're tracking two totally different things. But they're commingling them. And the idea of commingling them is that if you have more, it basically increases the number of quote unquote positive cases, right? Which then makes it look like the infection rate is a fraction of what it actually is, which then takes all the urgency off because then you can get on TV and you can say, oh, it's no worse than the flu. That's where that no worse than the flu thing is coming from. It's because they're purposefully manipulating the data that they're tracking to make it look like that.
Got it.
I mean, at the highest levels of federal government, it's absolutely wild. But this is what you get when you have an administration, not a federal government, because the government is largely bureaucrats.
Yeah.
They're largely amazing. When you have an administration that is run in the way that this administration is, then what you have is corruption, because the corruption comes from the very, very top.
It's so short-sighted. I was thinking this last night. I shared this with you last night as we were getting ready for bed. Like, honestly, if this president wanted to... like actually make his approval numbers increase.
Yeah.
He could have taken seriously this pandemic and gotten his butt in gear and put an actual team together that knew what the heck they were doing.
If they had taken
from the get-go, he could have done himself the biggest favor.
Oh, for sure. Looks like a hero.
I still would not like him.
Yeah.
I still would not vote for him. However, he could have done himself a huge favor by actually dealing with this instead of plugging his ears and going, la, 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 it doesn't exist.
And I mean, they had us, like, they shut down the frickin' country for 2 months. Well, they didn't, but like every single state governor did, right?
Yeah.
So the country was shut down for two solid months.
To buy them time to get their act together.
And they could have taken those 2 months to do productive things to get a strategy and a plan in place. Instead, what they did is they took those 2 months to... just do happy talking lies.
Man.
And made absolutely no progress. So we are strategically and functionally speaking right now exactly where we were. Mm. Not March 11th, but, you know, we have maybe made a week's worth of progress, you know?
Yeah, and just so chaos too. I think that that's one of the things, even with the commingling of data like you were talking about, like, you know, and someone who was spewing all kinds of disinformation, you know, at me last night online, I was reading it and I'm just like, this is just like, there's no cohesive argument here. It's just a bunch of chaos thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
I believe the intention is to make the person receiving the chaos just throw up their hands and be like, well, truth can't be known, so I'm giving up.
Yeah.
And, you know...
That's what happens in authoritarian regimes. The first thing you do is you make the truth unknowable. So then you just turn to the figurehead and just listen to what they say because you figure, well, if I can't trust anything, I might as well at least go with the flow.
That's exactly what happens in abusive relationships too. It's full on gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make what's true unknowable by by throwing a bunch of BS around to confuse the situation. Man.
Bad times.
Okay. We have just like unloaded and I feel like I don't want to end on an unload.
Great. Well, you got 15 seconds because we got to shut this thing off and get to our next commitment.
It's true. We do. Well, do you have anything positive to offer me?
Oh, you're going
to
do that and then be like, okay, Jamie, fix it.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking the question and I'm asking myself also.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. We can't control a lot of this. We can control our responses to it. Something that we can control is how we interact with other people in our, the people who we can touch in our lives, the people who we can reach, you know? And sometimes if you don't have a lot of energy, it has to just take a more self-care sort of form like you did last night. Like you're often really, really good about trying to bring people like that woman last night on your thread who just kept posting this information. Like you're often really good, frequently you're really good about, you know, just typing kind things out to help maybe guide them back toward the light, or at least just to deliver some much needed pushback, you know? So at least their ideas are not going unchallenged,
right?
Which is important.
Yep.
Sometimes you just got to block and delete. That happens too. But, you know, I think that we can all be really, you know, more is required of all of us in this time.
Yeah, I know.
Which is hard and which sucks, right? Because I don't think that any of us really wanted to sign up for a part-time job helping helping educate our disinforming friends and neighbors and online acquaintances, you know? Like, that's a shitty part-time job that no one wants.
No.
But by the same token, like, it's an extraordinary time, and extraordinary times require extraordinary efforts, right? The extraordinary effort that everyone should be doing, right? That collective, you know, here we are doing this as a country, you know, unified response really should be dictated by the federal government. That's where it should be coming from. We should have a president who's saying, hey, this is a tough time, but I'm with you. We're going to get through this together.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how President Obama would have dealt with this, just tone-wise.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, regardless of any policy stuff or whatever, just how reassuring. Even President Bush, for the love of God. You know, George Bush II looks like a frickin' statesman right now. Because he, like, would have been at least reassuring and kind and compassionate this time.
He might have at least uttered some word one time or more.
He was
of
kind.
Sympathy who've lost loved ones.
He was great about stuff like that. He was really good at doing hugs and being really, like, he was a genuinely empathetic human being, you know?
Yeah.
Like, most people are genuinely empathetic, you know? It's rare that you get someone who's an actual sociopath. No, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, I don't throw that word around lightly, but it's like someone who has the ability to empathize with other human beings' emotions, you know? Which I don't think our current president has. No. I've never seen him empathize with another human being's emotion, ever one time.
Not one time.
It's not a thing that he does. It's just not the way that he's wired, which is terrifying and bad.
Bad.
But, you know, given that there's this vacuum of leadership from the top, it necessarily has to be picked up. That slack has to be picked up by all of us.
It's true.
You know, and it's just all of us doing the little things that we can do within the little spheres of influence that we have and just trying to help carry that ball a little
bit. You know, ironically, one thing I think that really helped me in that regard this weekend was when the New York Times published the 1% of the names of people who've died so far.
Yeah, on the front page, so real small.
It was multiple pages, actually. It was a spread, but yeah, the front page was filled. And if you zoomed into the picture, you'd see the person's name and their age and where they lived and like one brief little sentence about their life.
Like five words.
Like just really coloring it. Like one of them was, you know, like to watch birds or, you know,
played trumpet with Dizzy Gillespie.
You know, things that made that filled in the color of this is a human person who we lost, you know? And it was extraordinarily sad to look at that, you know, and think about all the families that are grieving the loss of those people. But also I think that allowing myself a moment to look at those names and to read some of those mini bios, it's something that requires your heart to engage with. And I think that even though it was a sad thing to experience, it was an activity that that kept my heart soft. You know what I mean? Which I think is something that I have to revisit over and over in this time, finding ways to keep my heart soft. And that's not easy. I mean, it's so much easier to harden against, you know, people who are being stupid.
Sure.
Or to harden against, you know, anger at the lack of leadership.
I mean, empathy comes into play in this too. You know what I mean? Like just recognizing that everyone's doing their best. Even the people who are doing a terrible, objectively terrible job are doing their best. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's pathetic. But like also it's real and it's true. And it helps just to keep that idea in your mind a little bit because it can help you be a little softer towards someone who's acting like that, you know? They're not being a dipshit on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like no one is. Well, I mean, some people are. Some people are trolls and idiots and assholes and that's fine. But like most people aren't.
I mean, even the people who are being the trolls and the idiots and who are like walking around the world with two middle fingers up are doing so because of a root of some deep unresolved pain or shame.
Shockingly,
or,
doing their best.
They are. Yeah. They probably
Listen, you and I have to go. So people, here's the deal. Thank you so much for joining us on the Misfit Stars podcast. We are finishing up our fundraiser. If you're listening to this and it is not yet midnight on Thursday, May 28th, please go to shannoncurtis.net and contribute to our fundraiser. It's a monthly recurring thing, right? But support levels start at just $5 a month. So please throw your hat in the ring. We're counting supporters in this thing. We're not counting money. We're, as of this taping, at 127 people. We only need 23 more supporters to reach our top goal and unlock this amazing project that we have in mind to help other artists who are struggling in this time. You can read about it at shannoncurtis.net. All of our goals are there. We would really appreciate the support. If you join us on our live broadcast, every single support commitment, every single supporter between now and when we finish this fundraiser gets a Jamie Oki. If you're wondering what Jamie Oki is, it's where I will sing a verse and a chorus of your favorite song from the 80s enthusiastically and not that well. It's just the best. You'll love it. So you could join us on the broadcast and hang out with us for that. It's really fun.
Thank you so much for listening today.
Yeah.
We promise that once this fundraiser is over and the album has been put to bed, that we will be diving back into some of our more long form discussions.
Yeah.
But we're so glad that you decided to join us today for this shorty.
Yeah. We still did 35 minutes. Not terrible.
Okay. That's something. Yeah. So until next week, take good care of yourselves.
Yeah. We love you guys.
And we will see you again soon.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.